Bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Good afternoon. Good afternoon, good afternoon. I'm not going to waste any time. It's already late in the day. So I'm going to ask for you to, if you could turn to John 8. Turn to John 8. John chapter 8. The Gospel of John. And while you're turning there, and when you get it, please stand. While you're turning there, I'm not going to waste any time and give honor where honor is due, from the pastor to my family, to my friends, and to all the fathers, including my own father who went to be with the Lord in 2010. It's Vernon Trevor Jones, Sr. We're going to John 8, y'all. John 8. John 8. John 8. John chapter 8. Oh, yeah, you gotta help the children. I won't rush this part. John chapter 8. All right. I believe most of us have it. If you don't, just listen on. Amen. It's only one verse. Maybe at verse 19. Verse 19. This is what it reads this morning or this afternoon. So they were saying to him, "Where is your father?" Jesus answered, "You know neither me nor my father. If you knew me, you would know my father also." You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. All right, let's have a brief word of prayer. Father, thank you for these people who have come to hear a word from you. Thank you for what you are going to say and what we are going to hear. Let not a word spoken here today be wasted. Use this time to edify, transform, and revive, to build, renovate, and renew. And may all your words be accompanied by your power, as our hearing is accompanied with faith, all resulting in the praise of your glory. In Jesus' name, all God's people say, amen, amen. Amen. John chapter 8. This sermon text is an excerpt from one of the many heated discussions between Jesus and the Jewish leaders of his day. This particular debate centered around the relationship to God as Father. It started when Jesus visited the temple in Jerusalem early one morning and began to teach the people. Shortly after, the scribes and Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery and asked Jesus' judgment concerning the woman's punishment. They stated Old Testament law, which called for a person to be immediately stoned for such a sinful act. You are familiar with the story. You know Jesus masterfully turned the situation around and challenged the woman's accuser, saying, "He who is without sin, you can cast the first stone." And we know that one by one, each man from the oldest to the youngest walked away in silence, leaving only the woman and Jesus in the center of the temple court. Jesus dismissed the woman, saying, "As no one is left here to condemn you, neither do I. Go and sin no more." Following this attempt to find Jesus at fault of contradicting the law, our Savior resumed teaching. This is where our text lies. Jesus starts speaking concerning himself with an opening statement familiar to most of us that proclaimed, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." The Pharisees accused Jesus of falsely speaking of himself. To which Jesus responded, saying that he could only say what he said about himself because his words were backed by the Father, who speaks the same of him. Jesus then said, they don't know him nor his Father. And after more words between Jesus and the Pharisees, the discussion concluded with Jesus slipping out of the temple as his opponents picked up rocks to stone him, just like they wanted to do with that woman earlier. So in all that was said that morning in the temple court, this portion of red text jumped out at me. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. And that short phrase prompted me to ask the question, if you knew me, would you know my Heavenly Father also? So that's the title of this sermon. And that's what I want us to think about on this Father's Day. Amen. If you knew me, would you know my Heavenly Father also? Amen. What exactly was Jesus saying? What does knowing the Father look like? What does looking like the Father look like? Yeah. Well, being that Jesus is described as the image of the invisible God and the firstborn among many brethren, which is you and me, let's look at him to see how he looked like the Father. As the book of Hebrews opens, we can gain some understanding in its first three verses. It says, God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets, in the main portions, and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us through his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also made the world. He is the radiance of his glory, the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power. When he had made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. So if we focus in on verse 3, we find that Jesus is the radiance of the Father's glory, and the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power.
Yeah, that's it.
So these three supporting questions came to mind in asking, if you knew me, would you know my Father also? One, do I reflect the light of my Heavenly Father's glory? Two, do I represent the truth of my Heavenly Father's nature? And three, do I release the word of my Heavenly Father's power? Wow. So for the first question, do I reflect the light of my Heavenly Father's glory? The light of his glory. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. What is this glory of God? It's difficult to define, but we could consider the glory of God as his fame or his renown. Glory is what gives a great thing greatness. It's the awe and awesome. Uh-huh. It's the beauty of a thing of beauty. Uh-huh. And since God is completely unique and incomparable, his glory is virtually indescribable.
That's right.
But whatever it is, we know it's glorious. His glory is seen in his creation, his wondrous works, and in us, his children. After all, we were created in his image and in his likeness. And those who have taken on his Son have been recreated, reborn, this time in his spirit. We were created in the beginning in his image and in his likeness. And Isaiah 43 says his sons and daughters called by his name were created for his glory. His plans for us were great. Otherwise, he wouldn't have claimed us by calling us by his name and allowing us to share in his glory.
That's right.
Jesus prayed to the Father in John 17 saying, the glory which you have given me, I have given to them, and that they may be one just as we are one, I and them and you and me. His glory in us he in us as we are in him. Yes, we carry the glory of the Father like Jesus carried the glory of the Father. Jesus said he is the light of the world. He also said we are the light of the world. And our lamp cannot be put under a basket. For you were formed in darkness. But now you are the light of the world. So walk as children of light, as we are told. You are to let your light shine. The light of God's glory shine in such a way that all will see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. We are not to hide our light, but to shine the light of his glory in the darkness, in the dark places where there is evil, where there is hopelessness, where there is depression, where there is deception, where there is despair, anxiety, anger, hurt, unforgiveness, poverty, lack, pain, and sorrow. In those places devoid of light, God is light. And in him there is no darkness at all. And we are the light of the world when we reflect the light of the Father's glory. We are the light of the world when we reflect what makes him great and what makes him wonderful and beautiful and majestic and honorable and compassionate and gracious and loving and kind and good. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness will cover the earth and the deep darkness of the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear upon you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes round about to see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons will come from afar, and your daughters will be carried in their arms. Then you will see, and you will be radiant, reflecting the light of the Father's glory. Similar to reflecting the light of the Father's glory, we are to represent the Father's nature. So we ask, do I represent the truth of my heavenly Father's nature? First, what is the Father's nature, and exactly what are we supposed to represent? In Exodus 33, Moses requested something of the Lord. Moses said, if I have found favor in your sight, let me know your ways that I may know you. What a great thing to ask of the Lord, that is to know him better. So this is God's response. Yes, you have found favor with me, so I'm going to grant your request. So God put Moses in the cleft, the crevice of a rock, and covered Moses with his hand. Because Moses couldn't be allowed to see the face of the Lord, only his back. And what is to follow is where we can find the nature of God. As the Lord passed by Moses, he proclaimed these words: the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps his loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquities, transgression, and sins. The Lord, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquities, transgression, and sin. Compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love for thousands of generations, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin. This is the nature of our God, of our Father. This is why Jesus didn't condemn the woman caught in adultery, but instead extended grace, forgiving her sin. This is why Jesus died on that cross. For 2 Corinthians 5 says that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he has committed to us, his children, the same message of reconciliation. We are God's representatives, representing God in his true nature to oppose all the lies of the enemy and the corrupted nature of fallen man. Being committed with God's message of reconciliation, 2 Corinthians 5 goes on to call us ambassadors. An ambassador is a country or organization's official representative appointed to act and speak on its behalf. You have been selected, chosen, appointed, anointed to represent and to act and to speak on behalf of the Father and his kingdom in a world that operates under a foreign, depraved government. A good representative must be knowledgeable about what they represent and adhere to the same values of that entity. You have been anointed with the Holy Spirit of your Father that imparts to you his very nature so that you can properly represent him. Because you can't represent the divine with a human nature, you needed a new nature, the divine nature of your Father. 2 Peter 1 says, God has granted to us his great and precious promises, beginning with the Holy Spirit, so that we can become partakers of his divine nature. The same nature that was in that ambassador assigned to an embassy in Nazareth 2,000 years ago. We received the Spirit of God so we could be the children of God. In Christ, we became a new creature, a new creation, taking on a new nature. And our new nature is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of our Father, in righteousness and holiness of the truth. So we are to reflect the light of the Heavenly Father's glory. And we are to represent the truth of our Father's nature. Now, thirdly, the question is, do I release the word of my Heavenly Father's power? Later in Jesus' ministry and life in human form on this planet, he made another statement of his representation of the Father. This time to his own disciples. Philip asked Jesus, "Show us the Father." And Jesus replied, he said these words, similar to what he told the Pharisees in our sermon text. He said, "He who has seen me has seen the Father." And he went on to say, "The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me, he does his works." In his ministry here on earth, Jesus spoke the words of the Father. He earlier spoke of these words saying they were spirit and they were life. If we go back to the start of it all, we understand God created this world by his word. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, it reads. If we skip a verse, we can see how God went on about creating this world. Verse 3 reads, "And then God said, let there be light, and there was light." And verse 6 says, "Then God said, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and it was so." And verse 9, "Then God said," and verse 11, and verse 14, and verse 20, and verse 26, and verse 24, "God said, God said, God said, God said, and God said." And the result of all those God says is all that we see and we live in today. But just like God created this world by his word, the Father runs this world by his word. The latest technology on the market is voice control. We can speak to various devices and they can perform an array of tasks to assist us in our everyday lives, from searching the internet to ordering groceries. Technology is catching up with theology, though. God's been using voice control from the beginning. What we must understand is that if the world was voice created, then it must be voice controlled. There's power in your words. And when God wants to release his power, he uses words. But did you know that the Father's word is only expressed through the mouths of his children? The Bible is God's word, right?
Right.
But if I hold this microphone up to the Bible, there'll be silence. It's we must sound like the Father. We must release the word of God through our mouths. But we can't speak the Father's word unless we know the Father's word. And you can't know the Father's word if you don't read the Father's word. And you can't just speak what they say. Because they say a lot of things. Some good, some bad, some a combination of both. But God's words are perfect. They are wise. They are spirit. And they are life. They are healing. They are deliverance. They are prosperity. They are peace. They contain all that we will ever need for life and godliness. But they are only as powerful and effective when they are filled with faith, released from your mind, which is in Christ Jesus, through your mouth, which is an instrument of your heavenly Father. On one occasion, Jesus teaching on faith, he taught to speak to a mountain to make it move. Another time, he said, speak to a tree to uproot it. He himself spoke to a storm. He spoke to sickness and he spoke to disease. He spoke to demons and commanded them with a word. He spoke to food and fed thousands. He spoke to fishermen and filled their nets. So as our Father spoke, Jesus spoke. And as Jesus taught, we speak to our situations. We speak to our circumstances. We speak to sicknesses. We speak to disease. We speak to storms. We speak to lack. We speak to the forces of the enemy, the impossibilities, light in the darkness, peace in times of trouble. We speak against all that opposes God's good and perfect will for our lives and the lives of our loved ones. What will you speak to? What will you decree? What promise of God is in your mouth? I tell you, there is a miracle in your mouth and is waiting to be released in the word of your heavenly Father's power. So let me bring this to a close. It's not enough to say God is our Father. We must also show the world God is our Father. We have to reflect, represent, and release. Reflect the light of our Father's heavenly, our Heavenly Father's glory. Represent the truth of our Heavenly Father's nature. And release the word of his power. The question is, how's that working for you? How much of his glory, his nature, and the word of his power do others see in you? The good thing is that it's not out of our reach. God shared in his glory. He gave us his nature, and he put his word of power at our disposal. We are invited, even instructed by God, to be like our Father. Ephesians 5 says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. And walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. We were bought with a price, church. And the life we now live is not our own, but is God living through us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In him we live, we move, and we have our being. So I'll leave you with, if they saw you, would they see your heavenly Father also? Bless the Lord. So, natural question. Do you even know your Father? Your heavenly Father. That's the first question. That's the door right there. Is there anybody here under the sound of my voice who does not know this heavenly Father I just spoke about? And I'm not talking about know of him. I'm talking about have a relationship with him. Some people, they know a person who took part in their creation. They're coming here on the earth, but there's no relationship. We're talking about a relationship. Christianity is not a religion. It's a relationship. It's a relationship with a Father brought to us by a Son. So the question is, do you have a relationship with your Father? If you don't have a relationship with your Father, I invite you. Become my brother. Become my sister. Get a relationship with the Heavenly Father so you can live in his kingdom forever, because he has compassion. He has love. He'll forgive your sins. It says to 1,000 generations. He won't hold anything against you. Why? Because Jesus paid the price for your sin. He sent his Son so he could get more sons and daughters. So don't make Jesus death for nothing. He died for you. He died for me. He died for everybody in this sanctuary.